I want to talk to you this morning. Those of you all that did not get or have not heard Wednesday's message, I want to invite you to really get Wednesday's message. I don't know how you will have to get it, how, talk to them back there. I don't know if it's on the, however, you really need to get that. Believe God shared some things with us to really help us, but I'm going to piggyback off of Wednesday's message and some of the things that I'll say, and if you don't understand the context I'm coming from, it may not be as clear to you. But I do want to invite you to participate by listening to that message. I believe it'll bless you. This morning, I want to talk to you from the subject, the preparation is before the manifestation. The preparation is before the manifestation. If there was a subtopic to that, it would be this. God prepares before he reveals. God prepares before he reveals. Reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. The Bible says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Listen to this. What God has for you is already prepared. But are you ready for him to manifest it or make it known? What God has for you is already prepared. But are you ready for him to manifest it or to make it known? According to 1 Corinthians 2 and 9, it says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. In other words, before we seen it, it was there. Before we heard about it, it was there. Before we imagined it, it was there. What God has for you is already prepared, but are you ready for him to manifest it or make it known? Today's message is an exhortation. Today's message is an encouragement. Some of you are facing situations in your body. You're facing situations financially. You're facing situations with relationships. Today's message is an encouragement. The preparation comes before the manifestation. You have to understand that. You have to understand the process. The preparation comes before the manifestation. It's not, God doesn't have to get anything ready. It's already prepared. But are you ready for him to manifest it? Yeah. Well, I was thinking I wasn't going to have to work as hard. I thought I wasn't. I thought I wasn't. That's why I said you need Wednesday, so then we could all be together. The late Bishop Lockett had a saying that he penned, and I want to use that because the point is true. So point number one, God does not promote what he has not prepared. God does not promote what he has not prepared. Matthew 22 and 14 says, for many are called, but few are chosen. For many are called, but few are chosen. So Pastor, what are you saying? If you'll recall, those of you all that remember Wednesday, we sat and we talked about Gideon. We went over the whole thing about how Gideon was called and what was going on. It was a terrible time and the very calling of Gideon. But then the Holy Spirit actually flipped the script on us because it wasn't about Gideon being prepared. It was about the people that was with him because what God was doing was so much bigger than Gideon. Guess what? What God is doing is so much bigger than us. But are we prepared? The people had a problem of immersing themselves in what they needed to refresh themselves. Some of us are so caught up in us that we can't see what God really wants to do. It's all about us. It's all about how much money we're going to make. It's all about how, what we're going to put into retirement. It's all about what? It's just you. Don't you think God really want to do something bigger than you? You not that big. You really not. People are disqualifying themselves. That's why, please get Wednesday's CD. Please. I admonish you. Get the CD, get the, however they got it. I don't know, but get it. Listen to this. Like I said, God does not promote what he's not prepared. 2 Peter 1 and 10 says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. How hard are you working to make sure you don't disqualify yourself? How much effort are you putting into ensuring I do not disqualify myself? I'm finding this out. God calls the people, but people disqualify themselves. It's what he says, I've called you with a holy calling. There's not a problem with the calling. It's a problem with how we answer the call of God. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, Moses spends 40 years on the backside of a desert tending someone else's sheep in preparation for the manifestation of becoming the deliverer of Israel. Somebody would have said, I'm tired of this sheep. I'm tired of the backside of this desert. I'm gone. I'm going finding my share. And disqualify yourself from becoming a deliverer. See, let me do a little bit more first. Joseph sees the sun and the moon bow down to him when he's 17 years old, but spends the next 13 years in Potiphar's house and in prison before the preparation of becoming the prime minister of Egypt. Some of us, we would have loved to see the sun and the moon bow and think that that was the time to start our campaign for president. See, but it's the preparation for the manifestation. Are you, boy, let me do it. David was anointed king, but spent 7 years in preparation of the manifestation of becoming the overall king of Israel. He was anointed, and the first thing David did after being anointed is went back to tending the sheep. Somebody would say, "Didn't y'all? You know I'm anointed, right? I don't need to do this no more now. I'm anointed." Sheep? That's a little job. See, the preparation for the manifestation. Preparation always comes first. And what happens is people disqualify themselves doing preparation and never get a manifestation. Jesus spent 30 years in preparation for the manifestation of 3.5 years of ministry. 30 years of preparation for 3.5 years of ministry. Do we understand that the preparation comes first? So if you cannot handle the preparation, you will never experience the manifestation. You've got to be able to handle the preparation. Well, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. Does it matter? Does it really matter? Well, Pastor, that ain't even sensitive. I mean, I think that's what's wrong. Maybe we're too sensitive. We're too sensitive to what doesn't matter. If you knew what was on the other end of what you're going through, you wouldn't even be worrying about it either. Because of what it's worth. God is preparing. Listen, some of you all, you sit there, you just looking at me. No problem. I am telling you, what God is doing now is so big. Some of you all, it ain't about your qualification. It ain't about all of this stuff you trying to deal with. What God is about to do is going to blow your mind. Some of the seemingly least qualified. This is, when we were in worship, this is what I heard. It is a season of the impossible. It is a season of the impossible. And I'm like, what? Then he began to take me to some things. You got to understand, when God was dealing with Gideon, he said, listen, the 32,000 people, that's too many. Okay, so I need you to send 22,000 folks home because they're scared anyway. So we're going to send them home. Now, we're sitting here with 10,000 people. Okay, first off, the 32,000 was impossible. Because remember, see, y'all need to get the CD. The valley was full of folks. They couldn't count them. So 32,000 was impossible. And now, Lord, wait a minute. You want to send 22,000 home and leave me with 10,000? And then 10,000 is still too many. Why? Because God wants you to be in a position this time where you know it's a season of the impossible because nobody else could do this. This time, you won't think it was because you had the right academic credentials. This time, it won't cross your mind to think it was your girlfriend who gave you the hookup in HR. This time, you won't think it was because, you know, I took the right medication, so now my body is healed. No, God is setting it where it is an absolute impossibility. Nobody else can get the glory. Nobody else will get the honor. You're going to have to say, God, this is you and you alone. Why? Because it's a season of impossibility. It is unique. See, but if you don't understand the preparation, you worried, you fretting, you trying to find out, oh, God, what am I going to do? All you need to do is hang on a little bit longer. All you need to do is hang on a little bit longer. It's going to be made clear. Nobody's going to wonder. It's going to be absolutely clear because it's a season of impossibility. Y'all working me today. But if you cannot handle the preparation, you will never experience the manifestation. Number two. The manifestation or the making known of what God is doing involves two critical components. It involves two critical components. The first component is the timing of God. The timing of God. Now listen, I am not talking about chronos. Chronos is when we look, I could look at my watch right now. My watch says 11:15. That's the chronos. That's the time we use when we look and say, well, what? Well, today is June 25th, 2017. That's Chronos. But watch this. When Israel became a nation in 1948, it was Kairos. You don't hear me? Because God said, I'm going to gather all of them back together again. So from all of the different corners of the world, God brought all of the Jews back together and made a nation. A nation was born overnight. Why? Because it was a kairos. Kairos was a set time. It was the timing of God. Look at this. Go with me to Psalms 102, verse 13. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. For the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. Let me share something with you. Crying, pouting, or throwing a pity party will not change a set time. You can cry all you want to cry. You can have as much of a pity party as you want to have. A set time will not be changed because of your pouting, because of your crying, or your pity party. A set time is a time that God has set. It is a kairos moment. God from all eternity said, this is going to happen at this time. Ain't nobody speeding it up. Ain't nobody slowing it down. It's coming because can't nobody stop it. There are kairos moments in your life that God has set up. Let me help you. Joseph could not get out of the pit until the kairos moment came for the Ishmaelites to come past. Joseph could not get out of Potiphar's house until the kairos moment came for Potiphar's wife to lie on him. Joseph could not get out of the prison, although it being forgotten for two full years, until the Kairos moment came and Pharaoh was saying, listen, what's going on? And then all of a sudden, somebody said, now I have remembered. In other words, now the Kairos moment has come. See, boy, oh boy. Kairos, when you're dealing with a Kairos moment, we need to learn how to understand what God is doing. When you have done all you can do, all physically possible you can do, all spiritually possible you can do, and stuff ain't changed, you need to just step back and say, okay, Lord, maybe this is a Kairos moment. In other words, maybe you have set the clock or set the time already, and I just need to watch this. You have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Why? Because even though you've done the will of God, the promise is connected to a Kairos moment, not a Chronos moment. We don't understand. God, I did this. God, I done it. It's Kairos. It's not your time. It's his time. Boy, y'all working me hard today. I'm preaching better than I'm getting amens. I know. He says, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion for the time to favor her. Yea, the set time has come. Look at Galatians 4 and 4. It says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Are you aware that Jesus was born at a Kairos time? Not a Chronos time. In other words, God, the Bible says, the fullness of time. God knew the exact moment he needed to be born. Oh, come on now. Some things are simply time released. God has set the time, and that's when it's going to be released. Jesus didn't come no earlier. Watch this. Jesus was not premature. He came right on time. And it was the fullness of time. Some things are not going to transpire in our lives until the fullness of time. You might be in the oven. You might be in the crucible. You might be in all kind of perplexed situation. But you know what? Until the fullness of time. Those of you, y'all that bake, what happens when you take something out and it ain't ready yet? Some things can look like they're done and not be done. God has a way of knowing with, watch this, if you've done on the inside. On the inside. Just because you got a little crust on the outside, are you done on the inside? I said it, two crucial factors, so let me deal with the second one. The first one being the timing of God. The second one is the developing of our character. The developing of our character. See, the manifestation has these two critical components. One, the timing of God. To the developing of our character. Because while God is preparing us, we think, oh, he's just preparing. Oh, he's preparing you. But what are you doing with your character? Watch this. Go to Hebrews 5 and 14. Hebrews 5 and 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Y'all remember all our little babies in here? There was a time, nobody in here like this now. There was a time where you didn't give your little baby full food. They couldn't get the solid food because they were a baby. This is the analogy they're using here. Strong meat belongeth to them that are full age. I believe the New Living Translation says mature. How developed have you become where God can now give you something that only a mature believer can handle? Or are you still a babe that needs milk? Isn't it amazing that God allowed the babies to drink milk, but as they grow, now they can have meat? They can't have meat when they're a baby, though. Nor should you be grown drinking milk. Solid food is for those who are mature. God wants you on some solid food. So what you doing with your character? Are you still crying and belly aching every time something don't go the way you want to? I think we used to call that having a fit. My mama said, you have a fit you want to. I'm going to have one right on you. We going to all have a fit right up in here. You know, yeah, you see them little kids in the grocery store? Why is the grocery store the place they want to have a fit? I mean, they want to fall out. Mama, I want that. I want that. I learned early on. You can have a fit if you want to. See, some stuff they call it child abuse now, but it was just part of being raised back then. See, God is developing us where we can handle strong meat. Look what it says at the end. The skill, watch this. Have you developed the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong yet? Wait a minute now, wait a minute. See, we step back and say it real easy. Yeah, I know the difference between right or wrong. So, okay, what about when you're in situations that are tempting? When maybe your resources look a little low and you see some money, well, God won't mind if I take the tithe. You know one of the things about tithes? He says, you bring God's tithe into his storehouse. Watch this. It's never yours. So that's why God said in Malachi, you robbed me. Because you rob people when you take something that's not yours. So the tithe was not theirs, and they took what belonged to God. So when you're in a tight financial situation, you say, I know the difference between right or wrong. Really? Really? Do you take what belongs to God and say it's okay? Because after all, God's not going to say anything. See, it's easy to think we know the difference between right or wrong, but when you really have your senses exercised to discern between good and evil, you're going to do the right thing, even though it may hurt you. See, that's your character development. That ain't the anointing. Oh, God, tell me what to do. You know what to do. You know the right thing. But you're looking for the convenient thing. It's, are you mature enough? See, the parents in here, we understand being mature. Watch this. We know what it means to get up and go to work when you don't feel like it and you don't want to. Why? We understand what that means. We're trying to teach our children what that means. Because that's responsibility. That's accepting the responsibility of being a parent. That's because I'm mature. See, the immaturity is this, See, you can hem and haw all of that because you're young still. You get to come on outside and help me in the yard. They chasing butterflies. You out working, they chasing butterflies around. See, that's the immaturity. They don't lost focus. You know work needs to be done. Oh, y'all ain't helping me today. Go with me to Proverbs 15 and 3. I want to show you something here. See, strong meat belongs to those that are full age. Something about being mature. Somebody said this. Somebody said, character is what you do when no one's looking. I was thinking about that. But Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. In other words, God is always looking. So what kind of character do you have before God? I'm not talking about the character that you practice when ain't nobody looking at you at home. There's nothing on my computer that you can pull up that I'd be ashamed of. There's nothing on my phone that you can pull up that I'd be ashamed of. Because I ain't doing it because you ain't looking. Because God is looking. He knows. If it popped up on there, I'm just as shocked as you are. Probably more so. But you have to understand that. We talk about character because nobody else is watching us. It's bigger than nobody else watching you. God is always watching you. Is he pleased with what you're doing? Well, let me keep working. Thank you, James. I appreciate a little encouragement there. Thank you. Thank you. It goes a long way, brother. Let me prepare to close with number three then. Mike Murdoch said this years ago, and I believe it bears witness to. I just like truth. He said, no time of preparation with God is ever wasted time. No time of preparation with God is ever wasted time. See, I believe preparation comes before the manifestation. So no time of preparation with God is ever wasted time. Listen to this. A couple equations I'd like to run by you. A bear plus a lion equals a Goliath manifestation. Let me do it again. A bear plus a lion equals a Goliath manifestation. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and 36. David is talking and he says, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. I killed both of them. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go and the Lord be with thee. In other words, David had a bear and a lion, and that equaled a Goliath manifestation, because his time with the bear and the lion came from his time with God. See, what is God preparing you for when you're dealing with this bear and this lion right now? Let me help you. When Redeeming Love started some 10 years ago, things looked a whole lot different than they do now. I remember Apostle Lockett sending us to go look for some land and all of these things, because he's always been about us building and growing and doing some different things. He said, y'all gonna grow. So we went and looked, and that's always been the approach that we have taken. We started saving money. I remember us moving from Green Street, then moving to Kimmery. And then when we moved from Kimmery, we moved here. And I remember sitting down with him, telling him, I said, we want us to be able to save some money so we can do some things. Well, the money we saved was preparation. I didn't know what was coming, but I knew something was. Couldn't say that, Ken, about this time tomorrow, we're going to do so-and-so. But I knew there was a tomorrow coming. So when the 33.12 acres came available, and when we were putting in our bid, and somebody else was putting in their bid, and we said, by the way, ours is cash. Why? Because of the preparation that led to the manifestation. What I'm trying to tell you all is you are in a state of preparation right now. God is preparing you for something. Don't disqualify yourself. Don't do it. I know other people might be talking about you. I know you're going like, well, God, look like they able to do so-and-so. Do you? How many churches do you think came across my mind or looked at us and said, they in the gym? What's wrong with them? How do you think when you invite the guest speakers and they're going to come and speak in a gym? But it was preparation for a manifestation. Oh, it ain't over yet. Some of you all in here don't know the whole story. You let us get in the building, I'm going to tell you some other stuff. It is the preparation for the manifestation. But you cannot disqualify yourself doing preparation, or you will never see what God wanted to manifest in your life. When this building came available, it was nice to be able to go down there and said, okay, we'll take it. Cash. It's nice when you fill out the little paperwork, John, and they say, who is this financed by? I said, no, it's not finance. It's not finance. You don't have to go to the bank to verify us. We're not, well, how long is it going to take you to get back so we need to figure out, is loan going to be approved? Well, we don't need a loan. When you throw folk off because they're not accustomed to somebody coming up like that saying, this the way we doing it. But see, you can't miss what I'm saying. You can't miss the preparation for the manifestation. See, when you look and you see other folks are pursuing what financing options are out there. Why? Because they miss the preparation. And I'm not knocking other people. Other folks have a different route. Maybe God prescribed a different route for them. But anybody that know me personally, I have never wanted to do debt for the church. I don't even want it in my own personal life. I have never wanted it for the church, because I believe this, that if we start seeing things debt-free around us, it'll rub off on us. I just can't tell it all. Lord, help me. So no time of preparation with God is ever wasted time. Watch this. Let me give you another equation. A song of praise equals a victorious manifestation against overwhelming odds. Just a song of praise equals a victorious manifestation against overwhelming odds. How many of y'all could just sing? I want you to stop and think about what I'm saying for a second. Kim, just a song. What if all God required of you in the preparation was a song? I just need you to sing. All I want is for you to sing. See, sometimes we don't understand God is setting us up for the impossible. It's because now you can't take credit, because all you was doing was singing. The results are evidently not because something you were doing, because all you did was sing. Let me see if I can find any book for what I'm saying. Surely something like this, I got to have some Bible for it. I do. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. This is our good friend, Brother Jehoshaphat. The Bible says that Jehoshaphat had set a fast. He had the babies fasting. Everybody was fasting. If you was getting married, you was still fasting. You on the honeymoon, you still fasting. Why? Because the enemy that they were dealing with was overwhelming. This was going to wipe them and everybody else out. It wasn't no playtime. It's like, this is real. This is the real deal. Nah, Bernard. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 22. You're trying to go up there so you get the whole story. See that? I got to talk you through the story. We ain't got time for all of that. The Bible says when they began to sing, if this thing ain't going to happen till you do your part. When they began to sing. So God says, listen, all I need you to do is sing. Well, see, somebody, you got to realize how folk are. Somebody going to say, well, sing? Well, how are we going to get a victory because we sing it? All them folk lined up over there, here we are, just sing it. Them kind of folks, please get away from them. Those are the individuals that is like the man who said, listen, if the heavens be opened up, how in the world can this happen? He said, you're going to see it, but you won't partake of it. And they ran him over at the gate. Them folk going to get ran over. They going to get ran over because they don't believe what God's doing. I am believing. It is the season of the impossible. God is setting his people up for some impossible things. That's why I told you that about Israel, because it looks impossible. I know some of y'all sitting here going, Pastor, I lost his mind. But just watch. Just watch. I promise you, it's going to happen because it's in the scriptures. It's going to happen. And folks are going to be mad, but it's going to happen. Because it's a set time. God ain't concerned that they mad. He got this. So now, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments. All of these people that were set against them, the entire enemy that was overwhelming, look at this, which were coming together against them, they were smitten. They began to fight each other. It wasn't Jehoshaphat and them fighting them. They fought each other. All they did was sing. See, I believe you all, if we understand the season we're in, a season of preparation and knowing that there's some impossibilities out there, it's okay. God loves the impossibility. He gets to get all the glory. We can't sit back and say that we did anything. And you know what? After doing this, it took 3 days to get all of the loot that was left over. Oh, hallelujah. For 72 hours to go get everything you can carry. Good God Almighty, hallelujah. Just to pick up everything that's left over. I'm on the work detail to go get the spoils. See, we don't understand that God wants to do this. Holy Spirit, help me. Because I know that the word today was designed to encourage you. Because some of you all were down. You were down because you were thinking, you going through all of this. But no, you were in preparation. Oh, my goodness, Holy Spirit. Okay, I'm trying not to go there. Listen to this. Your preparation has come before your manifestation. So know this, the manifestation is on its way. If that's the order and your preparation has already come, then know that the manifestation is on its way. The only thing with preparation that you got to be concerned with is you don't disqualify yourself. It's going to happen. It's going to run its course. Don't disqualify yourself in it. Well, people say, Pastor, you said God never promotes anything that he hasn't prepared. Well, what about King Saul? Well, let's really look at the story of King Saul. The Bible says Saul's name means asked for. Saul was what the people asked for, not God. And what did he do? Disqualify himself. Then he said, I have found me a man after my own heart. That was David. See, we have to understand, don't disqualify yourself. God told the people, he said, this is what kind of king you're going to get. If you get a king, he said, I should have been the king over you. But since you want a king, this is what's going to happen when you get one. They said, we still want one. We want to be like everybody else. Hello? And they got just what they asked for. Listen, my word to you today, the preparation is before the manifestation. We're in the stages of preparation. Allow the preparation to run its course, to develop the character in us, to let the timing of God take place. Because after the preparation is God manifesting or making known to the world what he wants to do. And it's going to bless you. He's going to get the glory, but it's going to bless you. Heavenly Father, I pray for those that are under the sound of my voice today. God, I pray that though we may be in different stages of preparation, though we may be dealing with different circumstances and situations within our preparation, we would understand it's all your hand. It's all your doing, Lord. God, even as we sung the songs of Zion earlier, which we talked about saying yes and following your leading. Lord, it takes courage to follow you. We don't always understand the way, but Lord, help us to trust you to take us in the way. Father, I pray that you would open up the eyes of our understanding, cause us to look and see things as you see them. God, you said in your word, we have the very mind of Christ. God, I pray that we would not focus on having a worldly mentality, but have the mind of Christ, to step away from things and see them as you see them, to see the things that you're causing us to inherit, even in the earth, Lord. Father, I thank you for those that I know are under the sound of my voice that are about to come into some things that's going to absolutely blow their mind. God, that you've been developing their character. You've been working on them in the secret time. God, they've been like a photo, an old photo in the dark room of life. You've been developing them that they might be exposed at the right time. And I pray, Father, that even though it may seem dark right now, Lord, that you're opening up the light and the illumination of your will, even in their hearts. Lead them and guide them by your spirit. Cause them to know that they're in the place that you've caused them to be. And Lord, that there's a set time when everything is going to be made right. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.